And we have got a great show lined up for you today, although it's going to be kind of a somber show. Northfield Raider football teams opened up the season last night, a 31-22 loss to Mankato East. You could definitely tell that this was the first game of the season for both teams. Northfield does have a lot of key returners coming back, but there's also a lot of new players that got their first taste of varsity action, or at least extended varsity action. You could tell there was some little bit of some jitters, and there was some there's some work that needs to be done here for this Raider team, but I really, really like what I saw. They did some things well, some things they need to clean up, which you can expect on the first game of the season. But it was overall, you know, Northfield showed that they do have big play potential. Got to work on the running game a little bit. We're going to hear from head coach Bubba Sullivan and a couple players and break down the game against Mankato East. They are on their way, and they should be here in about a minute or so. So until then, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you a little bit about my thoughts on the game last night. I went into the game with myself and Grady McGovern on the call for year two. That Grady's going to be joining me. And we went in thinking that, you know, this is a team, Mankato East, and we heard Bubba Sullivan talk about this in my pregame interview with him, that this is a team, they always play Northfield. They always play Northfield tough, and they have a unique offense with this triple option offense where there's guys going in motion every which way. And basically it was up to Northfield to try defense anyways, to try to get in there and break that up, because Mankato East did take some time to set up plays. And it was unfortunate for Northfield that they just couldn't quite get in the backfield to kind of disrupt some stuff. And again, they're going to look at the tape, and they're going to figure it out, and they're going to hopefully not have that happen again. But it was one of those times where the Northfield Raiders, you know, and when the Raiders did break through and did get to the backfield, the Mankato East quarterback had no idea what to do. He threw up a lot of easy balls. The Northfield did have a few interceptions. And if you look overall, you know, if you just kind of watched the game, you know, you kind of saw Northfield being a little bit more of maybe the more athletic team, but Mankato East just executed better. And I think it's going to be one of those things where the Raiders, this is going to be a team that's going to get better and better as the season progresses. And it's not about how you play at the beginning, it's where you want to be at the end. So even though Northfield lost last night, there's a lot of good things to take away from it. And also, you know, Northfield fought back. They were down at one point 25-14, and, you know, kind of down or whatever. And then a Mason Zick long pass to Garrett Sawyer for a touchdown kind of got the Raiders back up, made it 25-22 after the 2-point conversion. So, you know, this Raiders, as I said, has the big play potential. Mason Zick, the quarterback, he had a 65-yard touchdown pass to Mitchell Stanchina. He had another one to Stanchina later, a 46-yard touchdown pass. So, and then of course the Sawyer touchdown I mentioned as well. And so it's one of those things where you just got to kind of look at it and figure to yourself, as the Raiders come in right now, just got to kind of look at it and move on, get ready for next week's game, a home game for the first time in a long time. The defeat of Jesse, or the Raiders are going to be at home on the defeat of Jesse James days. And come on in, guys. Hello, hello, hello. How we doing? Okay, I got the Raider football team, and we're going to take a quick break and be right back right after this.
Getting new furniture sounds fun. Shopping for furniture, not so much. High-pressure sales leave you wanting to get out of the store as quick as possible, which can mean bringing home furniture that's not right for you, or nothing at all. Not at America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas. Our low-pressure salespeople are there to help, but allow you to browse for as long as you need to find the right furniture or mattress for you. Stop into America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas and see how relaxing furniture shopping can be.
Hi, this is Steve DeLong, manager of the Northfield Liquor Store. We invite you to come in and check out our great selection of fine wines from around the globe. With nearly 2,000 different labels to choose from, we can help you find the right wine to fit your taste and your budget, no matter what the occasion. You can find all your favorites right here in downtown Northfield at the Muni, where profits directly support the community.
And welcome back, everybody, to Raider Rap. As I was giving my thoughts on the game last night, the Raiders and Mankato East, and who should walk in but Mason Zick, Jordan Frosto, and Bubba Sullivan to come in and recap the game last night. So I'm going to bring them on right now and say good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hopefully we would have a little bit better morning. Like to have come away with a victory last night, but definitely teachable moments in that game, learning experience, and it's just the first game of the season, right, guys? Plenty of time to right the ship and be just fine, right?
Yep.
All right. Coach Sullivan, I want to go ahead. We had some technical difficulties throughout the game, Coach, so my stats are terrible, so I'm going to kind of count on you here to kind of help out a little bit. But before we get that, just your overall thoughts on the game last night.
Well, in many ways, it was a very typical first game. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of mistakes, some great plays by both teams, you know, turnovers, penalties, just stuff that happens in a first high school game. You know, we had our kids raise their hands today in our meeting, and I said, all right, how many guys was it their first varsity action? And a whole bunch raised their hand. I said, how many guys played a lot in varsity last year? Five. Mm-hmm. So you got to realize there was, you know, if you look at 22 starters, five played a lot. The rest, it was their first game.
Yeah.
So, so looking at that, looking at the film, I also told them, you know, when you lose a game after the game, you're feeling, oh, man, we played really bad. And you watch the film, and it's never quite as bad as you mm-hmm. think. And the opposite's true when you win. You think, man, we were awesome. And when you watch the film, well, you're not quite as awesome as you thought. So, but overall, typical first game. Certainly would have liked the outcome to be different. But we've got plenty of things to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan, I want to ask you now, linemen, the Northfield Raiders, last year's team, five seniors graduated. So it's a whole new offensive line for regular varsity action. You were playing center last night. Talk about the challenge that maybe was presented to you guys as you guys were going through two-a-days in the season, knowing that you guys are going to be the new guys up front there.
Well, last year we had all these people just taking care of all the plays, and we kind of sat back and watched, so we didn't really get like up close and personal and like in the games like they did. So this year it was just a really big challenge because it was our time. It was our time to step up and pretty much be the front line and the protectors of the quarterback and, you know, make the holes and make plays for everyone.
Absolutely. And I think you guys did a okay job of that, Mason. You definitely had a few plays there where you had all the time in the world to make some completions. And you looked really good to start things off there, Mason. Let's talk about this. You know, we talked in our interview on the senior spotlight about you kind of being the guy, you know, this year as far as quarterback goes. But it's one thing to talk about, another thing to actually get in the game being that. You know, rate yourself, talk about your play last night.
Well, personally, I thought the line did very well blocking for pass plays. And they just gave me a bunch of time, like you said. And I personally think that I can improve on some things, but overall I thought I did pretty good for the Raiders last night. But yeah, a lot of credit to the line for mm-hmm. all the pass plays that we did.
Yeah, and you guys pass a lot, so Coach, is this going to be kind of the setup, three-hour football games here with passing now?
I hope not. We need to get our run game in
there
order.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, running, and that, of course, is one of the things where I'm sure you guys watching the video, and we'll try to work on this week, Coach. Just talk about the run game and what you feel needs to, you know, where can the Raiders get better in that aspect of the game?
You know, first of all, we only ran the ball 20 times, which might be a record of my coaching career.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just in general, you know, as we watched the film, it wasn't a whole line breakdown, but it was somebody on every play. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of a sudden, and it just seemed to be the wrong guy on every play. It was where we were going, you know, and it was somebody at the point of attack that had a breakdown. And so that really shut our run game down. And then in the second half, we probably abandoned it too soon, you know, and looking at the film a little longer, we started to get a couple things going and probably should have tried to establish ourselves in that run a little more in that second half. So that was my fault certainly there. But on the flip side, I thought our pass game, especially in the first half, looked really good.
Absolutely, yeah.
Protection was great. Second half, they started bringing a little more heat, and we weren't quite as sharp in the second half. But there's some definite areas in the run game we've got to get better at if we're gonna compete.
You know, we talk about the opponent, Mason, and Jordan. Jordan, I'll ask you. You know, Coach Sullivan mentioned that second half, you know, they blitzed and they were sending a lot. Anything you guys, you know, did they throw anything at you that you weren't ready for? Or is it just a matter of maybe executing a little better from here on out?
Well, I could tell a difference in the second half because it was like a higher intensity from the other team because I think they were down. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But they were down going in the second half. So I think they brought in a lot of fire. And then, as you said, they executed everything a lot more perfectly than we did. Mm-hmm. But I still think that we did really good the second half, too.
Okay. All right, very good. Mason, you know, from the quarterback perspective, what Mankato East was doing, anything surprise you or just a matter of them executing their game plan?
What really surprised me was on a couple pass plays, they only rushed three. Mm-hmm. So that they dropped about eight other guys, so that kind of made it more difficult on me. But other than that, it was pretty basic with either one linebacker coming on a blitz or two linebackers coming on a blitz. But yeah, what kind of surprised me was some plays they only rushed three, so it made it a little difficult.
Coach, your running backs come back, but you got some new receivers on the outside, getting some significant action at least last night. Talk about your receivers and some the new skill position players on the team this year.
Yeah, you know, we talked about the backs with Graybow and Stanchina and Vitato. Everybody knows that those guys are very talented players, but we've got certainly a kind of a slew of receivers we're looking at that are going to play at different times. Michael Imes, big, tall, wide receiver out there. Gavin Rattage, a junior, played a lot last night. Who else was back out there? Sawyer. Well, you got to say Garrett Sawyer, right? Got his yeah. In his second ever play of football. He scored a touchdown.
Yeah, so
it's a great. I don't know if he should retire right now or what, but that was big. So we got some guys that are playing out on the edges. A couple guys that probably didn't see a lot of time last night: Luke LaPanta, Tommy Sickler, that you'll probably see as the year goes on. So those are kind of the wideouts that we're looking at right now.
All right, let's break down, Coach, and you guys, from your perspective, the defense last night and where maybe we need to see some improvement, of course, being week one. But Coach, it's got to be frustrating. A lot of missed tackles last night.
Yeah, tackling was not good at all. That was disappointing. You know, we did give up almost 400 yards. But the one big thing there was they had 70 plays to our 52, so an 18 play difference, and that goes on both sides. You know, that's the defense not stopping, but it's the offense not driving the ball either. Sure. So, you know, they always relate to each other. So if we're moving the ball and holding on to the ball, the defense certainly doesn't have to be on the field as much. So the tackling was not great, but with that said, Luke Stanga had a ton of tackles. He had 13 tackles. I thought Josh Graybow played a great game. We've got him for 7 tackles. He caused, I think, 2 fumbles. Intercepted a pass. Just a really nice game by Graybow. Reed Roney in his first varsity action had several tackles. I think he had 7 tackles and a fumble recovery. Mitchell Stanchina, of course, had an interception. So some guys had some good days. But overall, our defensive speed and just getting to the ball was not where we hope it can be.
Let's talk about Reed Roney, who also was kicking for you guys last night. Talk about that. Usually you get a soccer player to come in and kick, yep. But I don't think Reed's a soccer player.
No, nope. Well, I think Reed played some soccer in his youth and maybe some summer soccer. But, yeah, no, he did a nice job. I thought his field goal PATs were booming. He kicked the one over the net.
Yeah.
And so I was really pleased with that. I think his kickoffs were solid. He did what we needed him to do, blooped when we wanted him to bloop. So he's done a nice job. We've got actually Irvin Corona as a soccer player and Daniel Monahan are also kicking and do a nice job. So we're fairly deep at kicker.
I was going to say you put a kicker in as also your starting linebacker at least last night. You know, something could happen or whatever. You got something been back just in case.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, okay. We got those guys that can do it.
All right. Again, we're speaking with Mason Zick, Jordan Frosto, and Bubba Sullivan recapping last night's loss, unfortunately, to Mankato East, 31-22. Mason, just go ahead and let's break down a little bit. Let's break down that opening drive, a 65-yard touchdown pass to Mitch. Just can you set up that play a little bit and you know what you saw to be able to complete that?
Well, I liked how we kind of started the game off with some easy passes for me, get a little nerves out of me. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a simple curl route, and I threw it to his outside shoulder, which allowed the defense just to run right past him and then let him free. So it was they go man-to-man, which I loved, and it made it easy for me just to make easy reads. And so I just put it on him, and he did the rest.
Yeah, it was a great catch. Then he did a little spin-a-rooney move to get away and run away. So very cool. Then you guys, you know, kind of stall a little bit here, but then you know you still battle. Then Mitch Stanchina later on in that first half, a 34-yard touchdown pass that you give to Mason. Can you set up that touchdown pass? Now that's on the other side of the field. So
yep. So we had a double wheel called, and Rattage actually came on like a slant and actually picked off the linebacker that was covering Mitchell. So that had just allowed Mitchell to free on the outside, and I just threw it up for him and let him run under it because I know he's a fast guy. So I just let him catch and run.
Unintentionally picked him, Dustin.
Yeah.
A happy mistake. All right, Jordan, let's get your perspective from the line as you see your offense, as you see Mason and Mitch and everyone, you know, complete those big plays. You know, that's got to make you guys feel good, especially that first drive of the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that big play like that. Talk about from the line's perspective what that meant for you and what that kind of did for you guys confidence-wise.
Well, it definitely got the nerves out of us a lot because I feel like most of us were, you know, kind of nervous going into the game because, again, a lot of us was kind of our first time on varsity and getting our first varsity action. So just seeing that we were able to give Zick a lot of time to, you know, pass the ball and then, you know, get it to Mitch and make good plays just made us feel a lot more confident going on the field, you know, the next drive and then the next drive, so.
All right. Coach, I want to kind of break down that second half a little bit. Halftime, Raiders leading 14-12 over Mankato East, I believe. And then, you know, the halftime comes around. What were you saying at halftime, you and the other coaches, to get these guys prepped for that second half?
Well, we had some adjustments to make. We tried to come up with kind of do some fixing of the run game, and the guys were missing on some plays. You know, a lot of times that halftime is just a lot of strategy and, mm-hmm. and you know, what's going on, who, and talking to the players, hearing from them. But mainly that was it. It was just here's the things we got to change for the second half. A couple other plays we ran, which didn't turn out the best. Yeah, yes. You know, so sometimes that happens.
You know, talk about they had their play that option around the edge. You seem like you guys had some difficulties with that, Coach. What are something that you, and that's a teachable, workable moment. What are some things you're gonna? How are you gonna work on that in practice this week?
Well, we had to slow play it because if we came at him fast and he pitched it, we had no support. So really, the main thing there was our defensive backs need to come up and get on the pitch man, and we weren't doing that. We were backpedaling too far, and we weren't very aggressive in the defensive backfield. So that left the pitch man wide open. So we had to then slow play the quarterback to hope give those guys time, which made it seem like, man, they're standing there for a while, right? But that's just the way we had to do it and give our guys time to get there. But they got to give East credit. They put a body on a body. They blocked people, and they execute it really well. And that quarterback every now and then would dip up, and he was a strong, tough runner. So it was a nice play for them, and we struggled with it.
Yeah, but, you know, so Mankato East kind of gets out ahead, you know, 25-14 at the time. And then we mentioned Garrett Sawyer, Mason, Jordan. Let's talk about that big play, that touchdown pass to Garrett there late in the game. I believe it was in the fourth quarter, 8 minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Jordan, first off, we'll start with you. Set that up from a Lions perspective, knowing that you guys are down now. And Mankato East, I saw their sidelines were thinking, hey, we're liking this. You know, they're taking their time trying to run out the clock. And me and Grady, color guy, are up there like, we got some big play capabilities here. I wouldn't sleep on Northfield just yet. So, Jordan, when you guys set up that play a little bit from the Lions' perspective, the Garrett Sawyer touchdown.
Well, I saw that, you know, they all backed up. They all picked up a guy. They all blocked. And then I realized that Mason had just a ton of time to make a pass. And then when he threw the ball, I saw that Garrett was, you know, pretty much open.
Yeah.
And when I saw him caught, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Because I knew this is his first time ever playing football. So just seeing him as a first-year player and then going out and then making a catch like that and making just an incredible play for us was just, I think it was really awesome.
Quarterback's perspective, Mason, set up that play a little bit and how that was executed so nicely.
Yeah, well, we called it in the huddle, and Garrett Sawyer was kind of confused because it was his first time out there. So he honestly didn't even know the route to run. So we had all the wide receivers and me were kind of telling him what to do in the huddle, and then we broke the huddle, and at first I saw there was no safety over the middle, and that's exactly where his route was headed. And so, I threw it up, gave him a chance, and he actually came back to it cause it wasn't that great of a throw by me, but he came back to it and his defender slipped and fell. And so he turned and, ran for it.
Bonus for us.
Yep. So it was pretty awesome just to see him as just a first year player to come out and get a touchdown for us in a big time.
Very cool. So that got it to 25-22, and then a late East touchdown later put the game on ice there, Coach. But you got to be pleased with how your guys, you know, first game of the season, are pleased with how the guys played. Like I said, some teachable moments there, but there's obviously work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good things. The one thing I challenged them after the game with, though, is that it didn't look to me like it's not the we didn't play the kind of football mm-hmm. that we like to play. And I didn't mean that necessarily as I talked to him about as whether it be how well we executed. It had more to do with our demeanor, our effort, our toughness. You know, and that's the thing that I think that we is our challenge is find out who we are as a team and our character. You know, and it's tough. You lose so many seniors from the year before, but I think we need to be a tougher football team, and that's something that we're going to have to develop in practice, and then of course it's got to show up on game night.
All right, Jordan, let's go ahead and ask you this week in practice. Then what are you going to do to try to get better this week?
I'm going to shoot off the ball a lot harder and a lot faster, and just bring more of an intensity. And pretty much go as hard as I can just so I can prepare for the game coming up on Friday.
Very good. Mason, what are you going to do to get better this week in practice?
Well, as a senior and a captain, I really think we can practice harder. So I think, and more fast. So just really go out to practice and push the guys to work harder and faster so we can be better each and every week.
Okay, sounds good. Coach, you have a home game for Defeat of Jesse James Days next week. I think that's the first time I can remember, like, 5 years that you've had that. Maybe this is probably more a question for those guys. You guys excited? You don't have to go now after the game? You can go down to Carnival and have fun with all your friends and stuff? Or
Yeah. It should be fun, yeah.
But you have a week of practice before that to prep for. Coach, your final thoughts on the game last night and, you know, what the challenge will be in practice this week?
Yeah, I think I say this every year for a long time, but the high school team's biggest improvement, most football teams, is between week one and week two. Mm-hmm. So we've got to make sure that ours is exponential. Yeah. You know, it can't be a normal improvement. It's got to be even more so. And so that's on us coaches to get the right people in the right spots and work on technique. And it's up to the kids, I think, to bring the right effort and intensity level.
Okay, sounds good. Well, guys, put it behind you. It's over with. It's done. You've got bigger fish to fry throughout the rest of the season. So let's put this one behind us. Let's get a win next Friday. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
That works for me. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's head coach Bubba Sullivan, also Mason Zick and Jordan Frosto. We'll take a quick break and be back with Ned the Horse Farmer to recap Farmington football. This is Raider Rap on KYMN.
Real Radio, True Variety, 95.1, The One.
All right, well, I guess we're going to start off Raider Rap here. I meant to go to a commercial there, but well, the Raider rap, the Raider fight song, that's fine. We can do that. So bat signal, the bat calls out to Ned the Horse Farmer. There he is right there, I'm assuming, on line one. So we're going to just put him on hold, put him on here. All right, whomever this is, I'm going in the dark that it's Ned Newberg. Is it Ned?
It is Ned the Horse Farmer. Good morning, Dusty.
Good morning, Ned. How are you doing?
Well, good. I was waiting for the commercial, too.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that. Live radio, you got to love it. Ned,
absolutely.
You had Farmington Tiger football last night. Farmington, I believe, against Woodbury. Can you go ahead and recap the game, how the Tigers do?
Well, thank you very much, Dusty. Yeah, last night's game was a story of big plays and big mistakes by both teams. And so the Woodbury Royals traveled to Farmington. This is the second year in a row these two teams started off their season against each other. So let's pick up second possession for the Royals. Both teams went four and out. The Royals start the possession on their own 28-yard line. They drive all the way down the Tigers' 20-yard line and fumble the football as it was stripped by Brendan Gore. He tries to pick it up, can't get the handle on, but right behind him is Jamison Schrum. He picks it up, goes 60 yards down the sideline. Tigers on top, 7-0. It was short-lived, though, as the Woodbury Royals got the ball first at 10, their own 41-yard line, 7 plays, 51 yards. That's Wenzel, the quarterback, going in from 2 yards out. They went for a 2-point conversion and got it. It was 8-7, and went to the 4:19 mark of the first quarter. The Tigers and Royals exchanged possessions again, and this time the Royals backed up to their own 14-yard line. Wenzel goes to the outside, breaks it open, 86 yards down the sidelines. The Royals on top of the Tigers now, 14-7. They tried the extra point. It was blocked by the Tigers. So we're going 14-7 with a 6:55 mark, and it's still the first quarter. Then the Tigers go into high gear, and they start first and 10 on their own 25-yard line, and they go 5 plays, 75 yards. And it's Booker to Green, for a touchdown, and the Tigers tied up at 14, and we got closer and closer to halftime. The Tigers get the ball back first and 10 on their 20-yard line, and they go four plays this time in the end zone as Booker to Schrum, 21-14. That's where it went to at the half. We come out of the half, Tigers on top by 7, and it was short-lived again as the Royals set up first and 10 on their 14-yard line. It's Reinhardt going 86 yards down the sidelines. Another big play. We're tied at 21. That's the way it stayed until midway through the third quarter when the Royals were backed up first and 10 on their own 1-yard line, and the quarterback tries to throw a flat pattern, and it's picked off by Luke Wirtie. And he goes in 1 yard to the TD interception, 28-21 is where we stay. Well, the Royals got the ball back again, and we're just getting to the beginning of the fourth quarter, and this is where things got really wild, Dusty. The Royals had the first and 10 at their own 30-yard line. They drive all the way to the 48, have to punt. The punt sails over the top of the return man, and for some reason the return man turned around and chased down the ball all the way back down his own 5-yard line, and instead of letting the Royals just touch it down, decided to try and pick it up. And he was strip-sacked at the 5-yard line, and the Royals took all seven plays with Wenzel going in the end zone, and that made the score 28-28, so we're back to a tie. And then things got goofy. Tigers first and 10, their own 20-yard line, fumbled the football right back to the Royals, seven plays, 30 yards. It's Wenzel to Anderson, 28-35 now for the Royals in the lead. Tigers get the ball first and 10, their own 20-yard line, have to punt. The punt is blocked by a big 73, Kershawn Mayfield. He picks it up. This is a lineman's dream, Dusty. In the end zone, 42-28 is the score by the Royals. The Royals weren't done yet. Tigers get the ball back, throw an interception to the Royals. First and 10, their own, the Tiger 12-yard line. And it's Reinhardt going in from 12 yards out. Final score here, 49-28. The Royals take out the Tigers. The Tigers gave up 28 points in the fourth quarter, unanswered, to lose their opening game to the Royals. Ugly one, but you got to just kind of walk away and reset for next week.
Hey, I know something about ugly games. I was watching an ugly game, too, with the Northfield Raiders just and Mankato East, both teams. You could tell it was the first game of the season. Ned, Northfield, they have only pretty much 5 full-time returning varsity players from last year's team. Otherwise, a bunch of new guys getting in the game and kind of getting their first varsity action. Talk about Farmington's experience. Are they in the same boat that Northfield is, or do they have a lot of guys coming back for this year?
On the defensive side of the ball, they've got 12 returning starters on defense. Their defense is pretty good, except for they kept giving up the big plays. 86-yard run, 87-yard run. They give away a couple large plays. But then they get backed up their own end zone. They shut them down. So the Royals were knocked on the door 3 or 4 times. The defense of the Tigers turned them away. On the offensive side, you have Booker, who is a 2-year starter. This is a second-year starter. He started as a sophomore quarterback. He's a junior this year. You got to keep that offense on the field. I mean, your defense could be just so good, and the Royals just wore down the Tigers because the defense was out there all night long. And when they do that spread offense, Dusty, it could be 3 and out, and you only burned up 45 seconds, you know, because they're running pass, and, you know, you can turn the ball over in a hurry having to punt it away. So long answer to a short question, they have about 12 to 13 seniors back. They had 50 kids, juniors and seniors back that went out for team this year. Of those, about half are returning starters because they had a lot of young kids last year. So,
right,
we'll see how this thing goes for them. But they got a lot of speed. They have 4 kids that can run 4.47s. But then again, if you can't get the ball to them, it's not going to do much good. So they have a core of senior receivers. And the Booker's got to try and hit those guys. But so that's my long answer to a short question.
All right. So, Ned, now, with Ned, of course, Ned, I'm speaking with Ned Horkheimer, who does Farmington Tiger football. Ned, let's go ahead and talk about the opponent for the Tigers next week then. Can you preview early? It's a little early yet, but preview or what you think you need to see the Tigers do from this week into next week.
Well, next week they get the Shakopee Sabres. Shakopee opened up their season Thursday night against Prior Lake. Prior Lake pretty much munched them. Shakopee, again, they're fairly evenly matched. for Farmington, they got to get that offensive scheme set up. I mean, there was a couple series where Bookert was just awesome. It was just boom, 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 touchdown. But then the other series is four and out, four and out, four and out, four and out. So, and they got to control the football. I mean, you can't give up, you know, five turnovers in the fourth quarter hope to win a football game. They need to play all four quarters. And I don't know if that's a conditioning thing and what that is, but the Tigers are at home again next week, which will help. But again, they got to get that offense moving, and that's going to be one of their keys. And just controlling the football, controlling the tempo of the game, and don't give up those big those 80-yarders are killers. Dusty.
Yeah,
I mean, you had a couple of big wrong runs in your game.
I was
going
to say that was the crushing blow for Northfield. They had Mankato Weiss whopped off a 77-yard run around the edge. Just the edge, the outside protection defensively for Northfield. Not very strong last night, and Mankato Weiss was running around the outside and a couple of big runs around the edge there on the option. So, yeah, something the Raiders got to shore up a little bit. But, yeah, those big plays are killers. You know, I think watching the game last night, athletically-wise, I think Northfield was more athletic than Mankato East, but you know, East, they just executed better. It sounds like a little of the same. If the Tigers maybe execute a little bit better, it's a different outcome, but they didn't, and so then you lose, and that's kind of how it went, is what I'm kind of getting from you, Ned.
Yeah, I mean, if you take out that fourth quarter,
yep,
the Tigers win that game.
Yeah,
but when you know, when things go bad, they can go really bad in a hurry, and if you lose your composure, then you just don't start. You stop thinking, and you know, those interceptions, and you have interception. You know, well, the kid going back to down the football, just let it go. You know,
yeah, that was what a brain fart on that young man. Oh, that's too bad. I'm sure the special teams coach was when he saw him running back to get the ball. I'm sure they're screaming, "No, no, no! Don't touch it! Leave it alone!"
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I don't even remember in the Farmington press box, but the Farmington coaches on my very far right, like three cubicles down, and they were screaming, "Get away from the ball! Get away from the ball!" But you can't hear them from the press box,
right,
obviously. And this kid thought, I'm sure he thought he'll run it down, he'll catch it, he'll turn it back up the field, but he had to run 15, 20 yards backwards. That ball's like a big roll,
yeah.
And there are two Royal defenders right on his heels. I don't think he realized it. As soon as he touched the ball, they stripped him, and that gave him the ball first 10-5, and it just kind of, the wind went out of sails. And then when the Tigers fumbled the very first possession, give it right back to them, and they score right away. It was, you know, now you've got to try and play catch-up ball. The team that, the Woodbury Royals, give them credit. They have a big, big front line, and they just wore down the Tigers' defense. I mean, they just wore them down, and you just can't get powered on by a 260, 275-pound lineman for a series after series after series to still be effective, you know. So there you go. Well, we'll see how Friday night goes. This year I'm on KYMNRadio.net with you, and there's an icon that you can click on our website and go to the Tiger broadcast. So you're on the stream too, as well as, well, you're live too, but you're on the stream. So we're both on the same page,
okay,
so to speak.
Yep, so as Ned mentioned, you go to kymnradio.net, and there's going to be an icon on the homepage if you would like to listen to Farmington Tiger football. Ned's been doing Farmington Tigers for us for years. He's an alum of Farmington, just like I'm an alum of Northfield, so we love our teams, our hometown teams. So, Ned, thanks. glad you're coming back on board for Farmington Tiger football for another season here, buddy. Looking forward to talk to you every week and recap what happens. And we need wins next week. You and I need wins. Let's go get them.
This is my 17th season doing Tiger football. I've seen the best, I've seen the worst, and so hopefully they can make a run at it this year. So thanks for the time, Dusty. Really appreciate it.
I'm at. This is my 12th or 13th season for Raider football. So I hear you. let's get some wins next week. Thanks, Ned. Have a good day, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Dusty.
Yeah. Bye bye. That is Ned, the horse farmer for KYMN Radio. He does Farmington Tiger football on the stream at kymnradio.net, and then there's an icon that you can click on, and you can get Farmington Tigers. If you don't click on that icon, then you get me and Northfield Raiders. So there you go. Let's go ahead and just do a quick recap of some other Raider sports that happened this week in Raiderland. First off, we'll start off with
The girls soccer slows it down to race past Winona. In the first two games of the season, both losses for Northfield. Northfield was too focused on advancing the ball toward the goal as quickly as possible. So, in a practice this week, Raider coach Reggie Young divided the field into independent grids, which forced her players to look elsewhere than directly next to them or in front of them. The early result was a Thursday 4-0 win against Winona. The first two goals for the Raiders were byproducts of that non-forward movement. The first goal was created after senior Remy Sulak was chopped down just outside the 18-yard box, which led to a free kick. Erin Morris placed her shot on frame, and while the goalie was able to make the initial save, the rebound bounced right to senior Lizette Salgado, who was able to tap home the score in the 17th minute. A few minutes later, it was Sulak who was crashing the net to clean up and deposit a rebound into the net as well. Next up for the Raiders is a non-conference action. That's today. They're playing St. Paul Academy at home, which has started the season with three consecutive losses, but did hand Northfield a 3-0 defeat to close last year's regular season. So good luck today to the Raider girls soccer team. Girls tennis falls to Rochester Century. Northfield girls tennis lost the overall battle against Rochester, but did manage to swipe a couple individual match victories during Thursday's 5-2 defeat at Northfield High School. Lauren Weber and Abby Boreen were at number one and number two singles. They had a tough go of it. They were against a pair of tough youngsters. Paige Sargent, an eighth grader who patrols the number one singles court for the Panthers, and Julia Baber, a freshman that handles the duty at number two singles, paired together last year to finish sixth in the state doubles tournament. That was, again, for Century. For Northfield, sophomore Libby Brust fell 6-3, 6-2 at three singles, despite engaging in a string of lengthy rallies, while seniors Anna Weber and Laura Gates were dispatched at one doubles, and Carolyn Ash and Celine Falkengeist were bested at three doubles. Next up, Northfield will welcome Lakeville North to town on Wednesday. Century is one of the best teams in the Big Nine and in the state, so for the Raiders to have an early test against them and get two victories, that's pretty good. Century usually takes care of business when it comes to the postseason, so kind of no surprise there, but hopefully the girls' tennis team can build from it and get a win on Wednesday. All right, let's go ahead and talk boys soccer. A couple games this week. They had a victory this week at Prairie Seeds Academy. Even after a 9-goal victory to open the season, Coach Wesley Dais wasn't pleased with how his team looked. So going into Tuesday's clash at Prairie Seeds Academy in Brooklyn Park, Dais decided to make an alteration. He kept the base formation for the Raiders more or less the same, but shifted its deployment to allow Northfield to blow past Prairie Seeds Academy 3-0. Dais says, quote, "They set up in a pretty aggressive fashion to try and pin us back, but we had so much possession. It must have been 75% possession tonight. The boys just executed." In both games, the Raiders played in a 4-3-3 formation. What changed from the August 23rd game to last Tuesday's was how Northfield's front line behaved. Against Lincoln International, it operated with one central attacker and two wingers hugging the sidelines. Against Prairie Seeds, one of those forwards, most often Grant Roney, dropped into the midfield to receive the ball, while the other two forwards operated as traditional strikers. So good win for Northfield at Prairie Seeds earlier this week, and then another victory over Winona on Thursday. With about 7 minutes to play Thursday in Winona, the entire nature of the game changed. Northfield was a pair of goals up for most of the contest against Winona, but after the Windhawks cut that deficit in half with 7 minutes remaining, Coach Wesley Dais wasn't sure how his team would respond to its direct and aggressive opponent. Turns out, the Raiders still had a couple more goals left to score as they closed out a 4-1 victory to pick up their first conference win of the year. Dais says, "We could have folded, especially with the pressure. It was hard, and they were quick on us, and just the quality from them on. We did really well. We pushed the ball up the field nice and quick and got another goal." Max Kasten provided the relief to push the advantage back to a pair of goals when he was able to knock in his shot off the inside of the post and into the back of the net. The Northfield Raiders now are 3-0 overall and 1-0 in the Big Nine, having a very good season up to this point, but they're going to get a big test this coming Tuesday. Northfield will welcome Owatonna. Owatonna's only allowed one goal in three games so far this year. So big test for the Raider boys. We'll see where this program's at with Owatonna coming to town on Tuesday. And we'll wrap things up with volleyball here. Even in an unfamiliar situation, Northfield Volleyball still managed to execute and top the opposition. In the first match of the season at New Prague on Tuesday, the Raiders suffered substitution issue in the first set, which altered their rotation and typical positions on the court. Still, Northfield won that first set and eventually went on to a 25-21, 25-23, 25-15 victory to start the season. It was their first home match of the season, so to go over there and get a win against a quality team is big for us, says Coach Tim Torstensen. They're a little bit stronger than some teams will play in the conference, so it was a good test. Junior Presley Fink joined Brownwin Timperley with 8 kills to lead the Raiders, while sophomore Emma Torstensen compiled a team-high 7 digs, and junior Lyda King and senior Nora Lemkul combined for 39 assists. Senior Rachel Kelly soared for 3 blocks to hold standout New Prague outside hitter Sophia Anderson in check, which Torstensen said was a key. Torstensen's hoping to level and style of play displayed against the Trojans, and hopefully he will hopes that carries over into games against Farmington here. So there you go. Raider Volleyball had a nice win this week. Boys soccer off to a good start. Girls soccer trying to find their hold. And there's a lot more sports to get to, and they're just getting underway here, so we'll do our best to try to cover them all. And, of course, every week I bring in the football team comes down in the fall. They come down every week. That's just the standard, and Bubba's been doing that for decades coming down. But then I also will have another team come in as well to learn a little bit more about them, whether it be girls soccer, track and field, or, excuse me, cross country, you know, any sport. But I try to get all the sports on at least once to come on and talk about their sport and give them a little publicity for their sport. So I plan on starting that next week. This week, wanted just to kind of get my feet wet with Raider Rap, get the football team in here, and just kind of get everything straightened up and everything. And I think we're going to be ready to go here. So next week, expect another team to come down and talk about their seasons. And I do that every season. Now it's Raider Rap 10 a.m. Now until May. Now until May. Oh, we're just getting underway here. But I love what I do. It's fun to talk Northfield Raiders. I'm a Raider, so, you know, I have a vested interest in the school and wish their athletic teams the best of luck. And we'll try to cover them all right here on Raider Rap on your radio station, 95.1 The One. I want to thank my guests today, Jordan Frosto, Mason Zick, and Bubba Sullivan from the football team. Also want to thank Ned Newberg, Ned the Horse Farmer, for calling in, recapping Farmington football. Those guys will be Bubba and some players and Ned will be regular guests on Raider Rap. And again, next week, expect another team to come in and talk about their season as well. So thanks for tuning in today. We really appreciate everyone out there. Have a great day.